Good morning. You are so very welcome here as you come as part of the Sainfield Road Church family this morning. Whether you're here with us in the building or whether you're joining with us from home on the live stream or later on, you are welcome here. Especially if you're visiting, we hope you feel at home. My name is Ruth, and I have the privilege and joy of being part of the team which leads Junior ARC, our children who are in nursery through to P3. This morning's service will be led by the boys and girls and young people from the ARC and JCBs, and it is our prayer that through this morning's worship, you will experience the love, peace, hope, and especially the joy which Jesus brings. I'd like to invite Abigail from Junior ARC, along with her mum Sarah and her dad Craig, to come to light our Advent candle.
We light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ and of the joy he gives. The shepherds were the first to hear the joyful announcement of Christ's birth, the good news of great joy for all the people. Upon seeing the baby Jesus, the shepherds spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. We have also heard this wonderful news. We welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Though we have not seen Jesus, we love him. And even though we do not see him now, we believe in him. And we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Let us live in the light of Jesus Christ, rejoicing in God our Saviour.
The Bible is a story. An adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, everything to rescue the ones he loves. And the best thing about this story is, it's true. There are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story. The story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. It takes the whole Bible to tell this story. And at the center of the story, there is a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He is like the missing piece in a puzzle. The piece that makes all the other pieces fit together, and suddenly you can see a beautiful picture. And this is no ordinary baby. This is the child upon whom everything would depend. In a moment, we will join to sing our first praise, Away in a Manger. This will be followed by a video where the children from Junior ARC will share with us a little acrostic poem based on the word Christmas. Let's stand to sing.
Little Jesus laid down. Come and hear the Christmas story. Hurry along to Bethlehem. Riding on a donkey.
The inns are all full.
Tell your dust, tell your beloved.
Thank you, God, for a baby Jesus.
Mary and Joseph are so happy.
Angels sing to the shepherds about Jesus.
And the star leads everyone to worship him.
This story is for everyone. Always remember my Jesus.
Who was engaged to a man named Joseph. One morning, this girl was minding her own business when suddenly a great warrior of light appeared right there in her bedroom. He was Gabriel and he was an angel, a special messenger from heaven. When she saw the tall, shining man standing there, Mary was frightened.
You don't need to be scared. God is very happy with you. Mary, you are going to have a baby, a little boy. You will call him Jesus. He is God's own son. He is the one, he is the rescuer.
How can it be true?
Is anything too wonderful for God?
So Mary trusted God more than what her eyes could see, and she believed.
Well, thank you. Oh, yeah, that's very loud. Thank you so much, everyone, so far. That's been fantastic. I'm sitting here with little tears in my eyes. It's also beautiful. Genuinely, absolutely love it. We're going to sing a song that's not a new song, but it's kind of an old song, but it's done in a new way, and it's getting very confusing. It's Ding Dong Merrily on High, but it's a version done by the Northern Ireland band Wren Collective, so a Northern Ireland worship band. And so we'll sing it together, and I always think with worship, you pick these things up as you go through, so the bits that make sense, you'll join in strong with, and then the rest of it, you'll pick up as you go along. So let's stand and sing together, Ding Dong Merrily on High.
Sure enough, it was just as the angel had said. 9 months later, Mary was almost ready to have her baby. Now, Mary and Joseph had to take a trip to Bethlehem, the town King David was from. But when they reached the little town, they found every room was full, every bed was taken.
Go away, there isn't any place for you.
There's no room.
They couldn't find anywhere except an old tumble-down stable. So they stayed where the cows and the horses and the donkeys stayed. And there, in the stable, amongst the chickens and the donkeys and the cows, in the quiet of the night, God gave his wonderful gift. The baby that would change the world was born. Mary and Joseph wrapped him up to keep him warm. They made a soft bed of straw and used the animal's feeding trough as his cradle. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God has come to live with us.
How wonderful it is to be led in worship by our children and our young people. And it's no different right now. We're going to sing Silent Night together. But for the first verse, Amy and Stephanie are going to sing for us. So they'll sing the first verse and then we'll stand and sing the rest of it together as a church family.
Talk to you. Me and John still acting good, but all men's with us, and we don't need to be afraid. Thanking you for sending your son Jesus into the world. Thank you, also, for God's family, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, help us to see the world. Jesus, help us to see the people around us who need help. Help us to help them.
God, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for our families and friends.
Let us be aware of your love and share your love. Let us know your love. Let us show your love. Amen.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby.
Hello.
They were washing their socks. They were washing their socks. They were washing their socks.
Ahem.
Oh, oops, wrong script. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep.
Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them.
Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them.
Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. That's fine. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger.
Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. The armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth."
As quickly as the angel appeared, the angel left. The shepherds stamped out their campfire, left their sheep, raced on the grassy hill, through the gates of Bethlehem, down the narrow cobble streets, through the courtyard, down some steps, past an inn, round a corner, through a hedge, until they last reached a tumble-down stable where they caught their breath, and then quietly they tiptoed inside. They knelt on the dirt floor. They knelt on the dirt floor. They had heard about this promised child, and now he was here.
Heaven's son.
The maker of the stars.
A baby sleeping in his mother's arms.
This baby would be like that bright star shining in the sky that night.
A light to light up the whole world, chasing away the darkness, helping people to see.
And the darker the night got, the brighter the star would shine.
In the east, three clever men saw the very same star. They knew it was a sign, a baby king was born. They had been waiting for this star, they knew it would come. At dawn, they packed up their camels and wrapped their gifts to the baby. They brought the most precious treasures of all, frankincense, gold, and myrrh, especially sparkly, lovely-smelling, gleaming things, just right for a king.
The wise men came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star and have come when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, sending them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was.
Sure enough, in that little house, there sitting on his mother's knee, they found him, the baby king. The men knelt before the little king. They took off their rich royal turbans and gleamed golden crowns. They bowed their noble heads to the ground and gave him their sparkling treasures. The journey that had begun so many centuries before had led three wise men to here, to a little town, to a little house, to a little child, to the king God had promised David all those years before. But this child was a new king. Though he was the Prince of Heaven, he had become poor. Though he was the mighty God, he had become a helpless baby. The king hadn't come to be the boss, he had come to be the servant.
Before Kyle comes to speak to us, we're going to sing a song. But before that, can we just thank all the children and young people for leading us so well? Thank you so much. It's been fantastic. So we're going to sing together, "This Child Secretly Comes in the Night."
At the Ark, we like to start our Sunday mornings with a bit of a game in order to burn off some of our energy. Now, you'll be thankful that I'm not going to get you to do anything physical this morning, but I'm sure some people at home would have liked a good game. But we're going to be doing a bit of a thinking game instead. And if you've heard of the game called Linky before, it's quite similar to that. So I'm going to show four pictures up on the screen, one at a time. And the aim of the game is to guess the link between all the photos. So, an example, you could have a present, the nativity, turkey, and decoration lights on a house. And the link would be? Christmas, yes. So you can work with groups that you're sitting in or someone close by. So our first clue is the sea, a burger, a snail, and the last one, a pineapple. Does anyone know what the four things links that? Shout out. SpongeBob. So there's only one person who lives in a pineapple under the sea, and that is SpongeBob. Okay, our next one. Our first clue is school. So maybe this link might not be as enjoyable as SpongeBob. An oil. A castle. And the last one is a wand. So I heard someone shout out a wee bit early. So what do you think it is? Harry Potter, yes. So I'm not sure about you. I've seen a lot of Harry Potter movies on the TV in the run-up to Christmas there, so I'm sure a few families out there were watching them too. And our final one that we're going to look at is maybe a wee bit closer to home. So our first clue is running. Next one is drama. So maybe this person's a wee bit of a drama queen. Pink clothes or bright clothes likes to wear nice pink things or nice bright shoes. And our last one is they like to have blonde hair from time to time. Does anybody happen to know? I never would have thought there would be four things that would link these, but there you go. Anybody want to shout out who you think it is? Christopher Pollock. And there's a lovely photo of him showing off some of his drama skills at Stran Panto. Also some of his blonde hair as well. So the Bible story that we're looking at today is a wee bit like our game. This story is the link that connects all of our stories in the Bible. And without it, the rest of the Bible wouldn't make much sense. And I'm sure you can guess what that story is, the Christmas story. But it's not actually the story that's the thing that links everything together, but it's who the story is about, Jesus. The story of Jesus' birth maybe a story that we hear all the time, usually once a year, and it can be hard to pay attention if we're that familiar with the same story that we hear over and over again. But maybe we don't realize just how special this story is and how much it teaches us about who God really is. The story of Jesus' birth that the kids and young people have led us through this morning was a moment that many, many people were waiting for a very long time. Ever since Adam and Eve in the beginning, God had promised to rescue us, and the Christmas story is the moment that it finally arrives, when Jesus arrives. God's people in the Old Testament didn't know what the details of this plan were going to look like, but they knew that God had made a promise to fix their sin, which they couldn't fix themselves. They learned that regardless of how many years went by, however many different ways that they tried, they could never do it themselves. They could never fix or be good enough themselves. They needed to be rescued from their sin, not to fix it. Even as adults, how often do we forget this truth and think that we have the answers ourselves? When God's people tried to go their own way, God didn't decide to abandon them or to give up on his plan, but welcomed his people back, reminding them that with God and his plan, there was always hope. Through the midst of slavery of God's people in Egypt during Moses' time, through wars with neighboring kingdoms like Babylon, where we find the stories of Daniel and the lion's den, through loss of family in the story of Ruth and Naomi, God's rescue plan offered hope as they waited for the true hero that God had promised, Jesus. But why care about Jesus' birth today? Why does God's rescue plan matter if it's already happened? The story of Jesus doesn't just connect together the stories in the Bible, but it also connects us with God too. God's rescue plan wasn't just for his people in the past, but it's for us here today too. Even God's people in the Old Testament had sometimes wandered away and found themselves lost, not knowing their way back. God never gives up on them, and always is there for them. And in this case, he sent Jesus to show them the way back. Jesus' birth reminds us that God has and always will keep his promises, not just for his people in the Bible, but for us today, always looking out and loving us, even when we've been running away from God and not listening to him. God's people in the Old Testament may not have known what the rescue plan was, but today we can read and understand it in the Bible. That God give us his son Jesus to fix our sin that we can't get rid of ourselves. But for God to rescue us, it came at a price that Jesus had to pay for us. And he died, but rose again so that one day we could spend forever with him in heaven. All we have to do is say sorry to God and ask him to forgive us, learning to love God more and more each day. The story of Jesus' birth may not be a thrilling action movie or story that you might watch at Christmas, but it is the story that links promises and stories throughout the Bible, showing us that God can't stop loving us no matter what we do. A story that through which we are reminded of the love, hope, peace, and joy we can have as God's people if we only accept the free gift through Jesus that God offers us all. Let's close by talking to God. Let's pray. God, in the Bible, you've made so many wonderful promises to us and show us just how much you love us. We thank you that you are our shepherd who looks after us, even when we don't always follow what you say. We thank you that we can understand more about you, as Jesus' story helps us better understand all the other stories in the Bible. We thank you that through your rescue plan, we are also connected to you, that you would send a Savior, Jesus, to save us from our sins, all the bad things we've done, so that we can spend forever with you. Thank you that at Christmas, we can remind ourselves that through Jesus, we can enjoy love, hope, peace, and joy that comes with being your friend. Help us to share this amazing message with others this Christmas time. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together for our final hymn, Joy to the World.
Just for a moment or two, I don't want to keep you for more than a couple of minutes, but there's two things I want to say just at the end here. And the first is a huge thank you. Thank you to all of you guys, all of you children, and all of you leaders who have led us this morning. We've talked, Kyle mentioned it just at the end there, we've talked over the last 4 weeks over Advent about these four words: love, hope, peace. And overwhelmingly this morning, as I've sat there, I've felt joy. It has been great. It's been really joyful to be led in worship by all of you as you read, as you've sung, as you've acted out the Christmas story, as we've been led in singing together, and as we've worshipped Jesus together. So thank you so much. That's terrific. Can we just give him a huge round of applause? Now? Brilliant. And to all those leaders who prepared so much in advance, and to Kyle for speaking to us so brilliantly, thank you so much. The second thing I want to say is just to keep us up to date with what's happening over the coming days. So just bear with me a couple of minutes while I fill you in on what's happening. I had a very helpful email on Friday from the General Secretary, a man called Trevor Gribben of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And he and, I got an email, lots of people got an email, it wasn't special for me. But he and other church representatives had met with the Chief Medical Officer and the Chief Scientific Advisor of Northern Ireland yesterday. And it's good, isn't it, to have a report directly from those people, an interaction with them, alongside the mix of what we receive on the news media, which we know is sometimes helpful and sometimes less so. And it's so often geared to those English as well, isn't it? But the meeting they had with those two was really positive and guides us in a really helpful balance in the coming days. So on one hand, there's clearly concern, and rightly so, about the spread of the Omicron variant of COVID-19, and not just over the water, but coming here too, a little bit behind. But on the other hand, there is a real affirmation of the sense of responsibility that churches have shown. And at the moment, far from advocating closure of services of worship, both of those officers strongly believed that there was a significant benefit in having services of worship in safe settings and forms, and that they would continue at the moment to be held. So they encouraged churches to keep on keeping on, but exercising some wisdom and paying particular attention to the measures and the mitigations that we already have in place, doing them properly, rightly, and considering if in the current circumstances there are some meetings and events and activities that might not be a priority that we'd be wise not to do. So looking ahead into the coming days, we've made a few decisions about what would be really good and important to keep on keeping on with and what might be wise for us just not to do. We're still really looking forward to our carol services then this afternoon at 4 o'clock and at 7 o'clock, and we'll be spread out over a couple of services. But we have regrettably decided that we're not going to go ahead with the games and crafts beforehand inside before the 4 o'clock carol service. So just come just before 4 o'clock for the carol service then. We are, however, going to continue with refreshments outside, bring your coat, outside around the fire pit. We have s'mores and hot chocolate, much safer to be outside. So we'll have those refreshments after the 4 o'clock service. We won't have people stay for refreshments inside after the 7 o'clock service, but you won't go away empty-handed. Do I get a woo? So come to that. We won't stay inside refreshments, but you can leave with a little something in your hand. We're also still really looking forward to the joy and benefit and importance of meeting in person on Christmas Day at 10:15. Don't forget, it's 10:15. We're a bit earlier than our normal services, 10:15 on Christmas Day. As ever, we'll be safely spread out as we are and into any overflow that may be necessary, equally safely spread out. Now, guys, normally on a Christmas Day, we'll have you at the front coming up and showing me and Johnny your presents. We're not going to have that this year, but do still bring your presents or toys. And if you come a minute or two early, say to your mum and dad, get up out of bed, mum and dad, bring me a minute or two early, and we'll take your picture on the way in, and we'll hopefully get some of those up. So still bring your presents. We won't have you up at the front, but do come with a present on Christmas Day too. We'll meet at 10:15 then. However, we think it's not wise to gather for a second time in 2 days next weekend, on Sunday the 26th, what I suppose is Boxing Day. So we won't have a service in person next Sunday. Don't come next Sunday. But instead, we will be showing an online service that the moderator recorded. Actually, the moderator recorded it last year for this time of year for churches, very appropriately. We didn't watch it then, we didn't use it then, but it remains very appropriate for this year. And you get to see me do a reading in the middle of it as well. So what could be better than that little bonus? That'll be on next Sunday morning online, but we won't be here. We'll have to take January as it comes. But in the meantime, can I just remind you of these things? Don't come to services or anything else if you have or think you might have any symptoms of COVID-19 or you're just generally feeling unwell. In all of our services, everyone above 13 and over, apart from those exempted, must wear face coverings on the way in, on the way out, and throughout the service, especially while we're singing, apart from those leading from the front. And please do sanitize your hands. Groups who are singing from the front, and we'll have some tonight at the carol service, they don't have to wear face coverings when singing, but they will be 4 meters from the front, and they will be 2 meters apart, so that'll be perfectly safe, and that must be done. We'll continue to sit a meter distance from each other in household groupings, and the building will be well ventilated. So it is winter, bring your coats tonight, bring your coats on Christmas Day. The windows will be open, will be well ventilated. Do wear warm clothes. And finally, can I say, we just need to be good at dispersing quite quickly at the end. So this front door will be open, that back door will be open. Please, at the end of our services, do move out quickly rather than hang around and chat too much inside and drop your guard and get too close. Do head on out. You can see people outside, but do just keep on going. I think, is there a little something on the way out? There's a little something on the way out to tempt you to the door and get you out of the door. So do, at the end of the service, however lovely it is to see you, skedaddle, get out. Two very quick things to say in that carol services tonight. We'll have our Weathering the Storm envelopes, which is the World Development Annual Appeal. They'll be around about tonight, and our offering on Christmas Day will be for that. And also, Grace tells me Bible reading notes are in the hub. You can go and get those, but go and get them quickly and then get out. Lovely to see you. I'll see you again. I have to reiterate that. I have to say, get out of the building quickly. Let me end with a more gracious note. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.